Well, today is Family Worship Sunday. We switched it up a little bit. We normally do it the last Sunday of the month, but we're switching it up because I really wanted to do Testimony Sunday. It's been a while since I've heard from you, and so I'm anxious to hear stories of what God has done in your lives. We gave you a little advance notice last week so you could be prepared, but I thought it would be fun, because it's family worship, to pass out some scratch and sniff stickers. Yeah, right? They're jelly beans, and if you scratch them, they smell so nice. And the reason I thought of this is because when you give a testimony about God and His goodness, what you're doing is you're becoming a walking scratch and sniff of the goodness of God. Like, people can smell the goodness of God because of what you're saying. And so these are especially for the kids, but if there's a kid at heart who's like 75 years old, you know, go for it. Take a scratch and sniff. I'm going to do two over here. How many? Yeah, like 4 times 3, 12, maybe an extra one, because you guys have a lot of kids there. Yeah, and then we'll do one for this section. Hopefully there's enough to go around, one for this section, and then one for this section over here. Just pass them around. If you don't use them all, maybe somebody over here will want it. It's kind of fun. Just put it on your hand or put it on your program or put it somewhere as a reminder that every time you talk about the goodness of God, you're becoming a sweet fragrance to everybody around you, and you are giving people what God smells like, and that's good. That's good, okay? So, who gets to start this off? Who wants to start this off? Like, I know there's somebody who's like, I want to go first. Lisa, are you going for it? All right, come on up.
Good morning, everyone. I just want to give God the glory. I've been staying home with my children when they're younger, and then JJ got old enough to go to school, so it was time to look for a job during the day. So I started looking as soon as it was August of last year for a job, putting hundreds of applications out and didn't find anything. Got a couple interviews, but that's where it all, you know, ended right there. And then right around about the first week of December, I got a phone call for a job that I didn't even remember applying for, and they said, well, you know, we're looking for a dispatcher. We got your resume, and I think in this company, I applied to them as a customer service rep in September. Never heard back from them. Out of the blue, they just called me, so I got an interview. And as soon as I left the interview, that night they called me and says, we want you to fill out a job application and do this and that and this and that because we want to put you on right away. And not only that they hired me, but it was the amount of money that I was looking for, with the hours I was looking for, and the location I was looking for, very close to home. It's in Solon, and so I'm only like 15 minutes away. And I just want to give God the glory for that. Yeah. That is not all. As soon as I started that job, my husband got laid off. It's a perfect timing, right? He got laid off the week before Christmas. They gave him a severance package and whatnot. He looked for a job. He found a job within a month. So I just give God the glory that He takes care of us.
That's really good. Wow. That's good. Oh, Josh has to add. He does a P.S.
I just want to say, I feel like God is really doing something for people who are looking for jobs, because as of late, I've heard about people getting jobs left and right. So if you've got a job within the past 4 or 5 months or a promotion, I want you to raise your hand. Youth, I know some of you guys back there too. Raise your hand. Look at all these people who got jobs. So God is a God of providers. So if you're looking for a job, I'm going to tell you right now, come to God and give it to Him. One of the hardest things for me is I've never been laid off in my life. So Lisa didn't tell you that part. So I was pretty broken, and God had to break me down and realize this, is that sometimes control is not in your hands. And that was tough for me. And it was something even we've been working through in the men's group is that control, we have to give it to God and realize that God's in control. Sometimes that's not easy, especially as men, right? So that's something that we've been working on, and God really worked at me through that. Because as hard as I would try to find a job and put all these applications out there, it just never seemed like the right fit. And then when I slowed down and said, well, God, we have a place, you'll give it to me, it just came up. So if you're looking for a job, realize that God's in control.
That's
so
good. That's good. Thank you, Josh. Yeah. That's good. Okay. Betty's ready to go. Ready, Betty. I like it.
Well, first of all, I'd like to quote two scriptures that I do my best to live by. The first one is Psalms 46:10, be still and know I am God. It's really tough for me to be still, but it's getting better. And the other one is 1 Peter 5:10, and the God of all grace will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. And I truly know that's true. But now, the reason I'm going to read this is because anybody that knows me knows if I don't, I'll be here all day. Okay, here we go. I'm Betty. Most of you know me. I've been a facilitator for the Free to Be Me workbook of self-awareness and healing for many years. I thought about what I wanted to say. I know that I have lived such a challenging life and that I have been blessed over and over. I really do not believe I would be the person I am today without this spiritual family. I have right here. I have been here since day one, along with several others. We've grown in so many wonderful ways, always doing our best to be there when someone needs us. Pastor Sandy has been my one earthly rock. I have turned to her so many times, and God is so good. You know, every one of these songs could fit right in all this. There are many wonderful memories. I have many wonderful memories, and I look forward to making many more. Here are just a few experiences I'll share. Making popcorn at the theater every Sunday and having many burns on my arms. Bringing donuts from Parma but eating way too many before I got them here. Oops. When a van full of ladies drove to Columbus to see Joyce Meyer speak, or hear, I was ushering there, and it meant so much to have my family there and sit in the front. And that's only because the front was empty and not because of me. But anyway, when everyone supported me during that 4 years, the bank tried to take my house, but with God I won. When I needed surgeries, Pastor Sandy was always there, bringing me such comfort during good and sad times. When I had my cancer biopsy, she was there with my 3 daughters and my sister, listening to my wit and humor. I didn't even know where that came from, God, I'm sure, but also the peace I know God allowed me to have in knowing Pastor was with my children. During that challenge, God did give me peace beyond understanding. I gotta get the other one open. And it truly is peace. For 5 months, I went through treatments and then surgery to remove my lung. I had no side effects, just positive peace. My doctor was amazed. I would not allow anyone to be in my environment with negativity. I actually sent one of my kids out the door to come back without that attitude. This family was always with me and helping me. I have so much gratitude to you, my blessing. Life does have challenges. We all know that. It's not the challenge that defines us. It's how we allow it to affect our lives. The key word is react. How do you react or not react? It's our choice. No one needs my permission to be who they are. That's on them, not me. I just heard that this week. But it's good. I read something the other day on Facebook from someone here that I adore. Unfortunately, I don't see him, but Anyhow, he said, "You are still a mom to so many at Oak River." And I responded, "Oh, and I'm only 35 and beautiful." Which I truly believe. Okay, actually that made me realize just how special my Oak River family is. I have learned so much about Jesus and my Heavenly Father. We seem to think sometimes we already know. Know what? We could not be here on earth without our Heavenly Father. Today will be gone, and a new day will awaken, we all believe. Can you say to yourself that today you did God's will for your life? Let's not be so bold as to think we can live in our own will. I tried that for a long time, and there were consequences for my actions. Today, I'm very grateful for God's blessings and favor, this church family being one of the best blessings in my life. I won't go on, I said, but I will say thank you to the many friends I have in my life today. And I just want to add one thing. It was so special one Easter when I had nobody to have dinner with. And the Heismans and their group, Judy, they invited me to go to the Cathedral of Tomorrow, right? And we had dinner, and it was the nicest experience. And I never even felt any of that loneliness I thought I would. So remember, you are blessed to be a blessing. Share it. Thank you.
That's awesome. Okay, who's next? I love hearing these stories of God's goodness. And by the way, kids, I would love to have you participate. Heaven, looks like Heaven's ready. Oh, after Heaven, you can come. Oh, Heaven and Andy, it's a dual, dynamic duo.
When me and Andy are always mad and we're away from each other and we don't get to go with each other a lot, we always get mad, and then after we see each other, and we always hear when Jesus is telling us that, we can get back together, and we can start over and refresh our minds from what happened when we were mad. So when we saw each other, we are happy.
That's good. You want to say anything? No? Okay. That's right, girls. I always say guys because I have three boys. That's right, girls. God is a God of forgiveness and restoration of relationships. That's really good. I'm glad you know that about him. Okay. Come on down.
Hi. I want to share a little something here. God actually found me and brought me to faith. That's my gift. Because I didn't grow up in a church. I didn't learn about God. I actually did learn about God. I didn't realize that. I didn't grow up in a church or learning about a faith. But my mom taught me from the day I was born that animals and earth were, you know, the most beautiful, precious things, and she taught me to love and cherish and respect and care for animals. And I was actually shunned the faith for a long time because I kept hearing those messages that separated, where that to me Christianity tended to separate us from animals and nature, and that God eventually found me and showed me that wasn't so. And it started with a beautiful book that I got about 3 years ago about how the ancient Celts from Ireland, Scotland, and Wales, how they believed when they first brought Christianity into their world. And I realized that Christ actually came not just to bring us home to God, but to reunite us with the natural world and with all of his creation. And since then, the Holy Spirit's been kind of guiding me here and there to find all kinds of expressions of that. The blueberry bush story was beautiful. Just lots of things like that. And I want to share the weirdest one I found. this is not something I understood anything about, not something I would have ever found on my own. I know very little about the Catholic Church, and it's not a place I wander into. And I don't follow what the Pope is up to, but apparently the current Pope is named took the name Francis, and he did it for St. Francis of Assisi, who I do know a little tiny bit about. He revered animals and nature and the poor. And there's this book, it's an encyclical letter, which I don't know a lot about what that is, but popes write them and they're extremely important and very powerful, and they tend to affect the theology of the Catholic Church, and the hierarchy of the Catholic Church is a little troubling to me, but this is Pope Francis wrote this about a year ago. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. I think it's called Laudato Si. It's taken from something that St. Francis wrote. The subtitle is On Care for Our Common Home. I never in my wildest dreams thought I would find anything like this coming out of the top of the Catholic Church. I just want to share the very beginning with you if I don't cry. The first little paragraph is mostly from St. Francis, but this is the Pope. The Catholic Church. It says, Laudato si, mi Signore, praise be to you, my Lord. In the words of this beautiful canticle, St. Francis of Assisi reminds us that our common home is like a sister with whom we share our life and a beautiful mother who opens her arms to embrace us. Praise be to you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us and who produces various fruit with colored flowers and herbs. That was a quote from St. Francis. And the Pope is writing, this sister now cries out to us because of the harm we have inflicted on her by our irresponsible use and abuse of the goods with which God has endowed her. We have come to see ourselves as her lords and masters, entitled to plunder her at will. The violence present in our hearts, wounded by sin, is also reflected in the symptoms of sickness evident in the soil, in the water, in the air, and in all forms of life. This is why the earth herself, burdened and laid waste, is among the most abandoned and maltreated of our poor. She groans in travail, and that's from Romans 8:22. We have forgotten that we ourselves are dust of the earth. Our very bodies are made up of her elements. We breathe her air, and we receive life and refreshment from her waters. And the whole thing is, actually, you can get it on Amazon if anybody's interested. You just type that in, and it comes in a couple of different editions, but his words, and I've read through quite a bit of it, and I went to a little bit of a talk about it. I go to Ursuline College, which is Catholic, and I'm completely blown away that I found this. I'm completely blown away that the Pope did this. There is nothing in here about Catholic Church doctrine, about hierarchy. One of his most important points is that to care for the poor and the needy and the abandoned of us humans, we have to take care of our earth because we can't be separated. And I'm so thankful, not only that this has happened, but that I'm finding these things to share. So that's it.
That's awesome. I love your heart for what God has created. You have a genuine heart of compassion for everything that God has created, and I believe he treasures that. He doesn't create something and then go, well, I don't care about that anymore, any more than any of us would. So I'm grateful for your heart for what God has created. Okay, Joyce, I love that you guys are ready. You're on target and ready. No crickets today.
What had happened, everybody knows that Don was in the hospital, and I was kind of out of it. So Sandy would come, and she would lead me around. Betty showed up with this picnic basket, and she says, we're going to have lunch together. I said, okay. So we go out into the lounge. The lounge in ICU is really kind of a sad place to be. And there was a lady there who got a phone call that her son in his early 20s had a seizure, passed out in school, and he was already downtown already. And I don't think they had a lot of money. And she came in and was dropped off by somebody and had been there for a week and couldn't leave. So she's sleeping in the lounge. They gave her a blanket and a pillow. And she, sweet lady, really kept herself up. But Betty comes in, and this gal's sitting there, and Betty says, "Hi, you want to have lunch with us?" And the lady looked, and she says, "You know, isn't it funny? I've been here a week, and the only thing I can think of is I'd like a hard-boiled egg." And Betty says, "I have a hard-boiled egg." And I'm looking at her like, "You're kidding me." And she said, "The only thing that's missing is salt. I have salt in my little basket here." After the lady ate it and thanked her up and down, I mean, that's all the lady wanted was just an egg, and God knew that. And I looked at Betty and I said, "Who brings hard-boiled eggs to intensive care?" And she looked at me and she says, "Why? Why? You know, like everybody walks around with a hard-boiled egg in their pocket." And that was God. Then Tiffany shows up, and Tiffany has flowers, and she says, "Ooh, I didn't know you couldn't have flowers in here." And I said, "Don't worry about it. We can put him in the lounge." There was a horrible, horrible, sad time for a family in that lounge. And I saw the woman lean over and take one of Tiffany's flowers and just hold it in her fist. And I thought, God knew she needed that flower.
That's good. God's intricate care through his people of others that we don't even know their names. I love that. I love that. Okay. Oh, Jerry's next hand I see.
That was very touching. Having been in the hospital, that's very touching. Actually, the really cool thing happened this week with William had an injury in football practice. He was doing, forget what, karaoke's and twisted his leg, but got this phone call at like 5:30 in the morning. It probably wasn't that early, but it was very early. I was still in bed, and he had already gone to practice and before school. But he injured himself, and Shauna went from the gym to the high school to pick him up and take him to ER. And before she even got there, I was coming back upstairs after Shauna left, and Andy goes, "I just prayed for William." I said, "That's very caring of you, very kind, and you know, unconditional love for a sibling." Not 2 seconds later, the coach called and said, "Hey, his knee popped right back in." Wow. They never see this. And he's healing up, but I just think it's awesome that she prayed for him.
Awesome.
And God is faithful and popped it back.
God answered your prayer, Andy, no doubt. Hey, we don't believe in junior Holy Spirits around here. Everybody gets the full dose. I don't care how big you are, you get the full dose. So your prayer was totally answered. We celebrate that miracle. Okay. Anybody else? I have one if nobody else has one, but if anybody else has one. Okay, Linda and Gail.
Hi, I know some of you don't know me, but I'm Betty's sister, Gail. And I went to Florida for 2 weeks, and when I come back, I started getting sick, and I was having trouble breathing. And as you know, last week I came in here with oxygen on. Well, I went to the doctors on last Monday, and they told me my oxygen level was back up, and Ken prayed with me on Sunday, him and Donna, and when I went to the doctors, they told me I did not have congested heart failure, which they thought I did on Friday before, and that my breathing is a lot better, and they said it was pneumonia, but it's cleared up, and I feel a lot 100% better. And I can breathe without having to use the oxygen. And I thank everybody here for all your prayers through everything with me and Betty. And I love you all. You're all my family. And I thank you. And God bless you all. Thank you.
There she is. Awesome. Healings. Lots of healings today. That's good. Love hearing about that.
And mine's about healing, too. I just spent the best week of my life in California with my brother, who is still alive because of all the prayers that everybody prayed for him when he had his heart attack. He was literally dead on the table, and they brought him back, and they didn't think he was even going to be living. And believe me, I couldn't keep up with him when we were in California. He is just 100%, and I am just thankful for the Lord for doing that and for all the prayers that everybody gave him. It was wonderful.
That's good to hear. Sometimes you pray for somebody and you don't hear, you know, the result, so that's good to hear. Okay, Ron's got one. Oh, JC has one. Can JC go first, Ron? Okay, JC, come on down. Jen's like, wonder what she's going to say.
Well, my mom's boyfriend's dad was in the hospital, and the doctors put him in a coma so he would heal. And one day he came over, and they were going to go to the hospital to visit his dad. And I was like, oh, my gosh, I want to make a card for his dad. And I was, like, trying to hurry and make him a card. And I made him a card, and I prayed over it. Then I gave it to my mom to give to the dad. And the next day or so after, they were able to bring him out of the coma for a little bit, and he was able to breathe a little bit on his own. He just started getting better, and I was like, oh my gosh, thank you, Lord. He is going to be okay.
That is cool. You know, we all need to listen when God tells us to make a card and pray over it. That's a big thing. That is a really good thing. Thank you for sharing that. Okay, Ron?
Sandy had asked us a couple weeks ago. She said, you elders, I want you to come prepared because I don't want to hear crickets in here. It's not been a problem this morning. No. But when she said that, I had this testimony pop into my mind of something that happened a long time ago. And this morning I thought, well, maybe that was just me. And then the second song that the worship team did confirmed it, and I needed to share this. So the year is 1991. So it's a while ago. I'm on my fifth trip to Brazil as a short-term missionary. So I was one of the veterans and had to lead, got to lead, whatever you want to call it, some of the teams out. It's the last day. We've been there for 2 weeks. I'm done. I mean, tending sheep, I've had it, you know. No ministry scheduled for the afternoon. Kids are going to the beach. I'm going to go to town and get some souvenirs for people that have been prayer partners. I had a sunburn. I was done. Then the leader of the mission trip said, hey, Ron, I want you to go with those kids to the beach. All right. They're not going for ministry. They're going to swim. So I grudgingly go with them to the beach. Again, I've got a sunburn. I can't even go out and swim. So I'm left just sitting with their stuff. My attitude is not the best, coming off of 2 weeks of ministry. Here's the line from the song. It said, even in the wilderness, through confusion and barrenness, even in my brokenness and through the pain, I will confess. So they swim. They're done. We're going to catch a bus back to town. And it's like, yes, finally, I get to go. You know, maybe I can run into town and get some gifts and so on. And I'm standing there waiting for the bus, and a guy taps me on the shoulder. He said, can you explain this to me? And he has a little tract that one of the kids had passed out. Well, he picked the wrong guy. I was in no shape to talk to him, but, you know, suck it up. Said, God, you know, whatever. I start to explain the track to him, and he goes, yeah, He said, well, what's that mean for me? He said, I'm on my way. Excuse me. I'm on my way back to town. I've got to go to court. I'm wanted for murder. Several years ago, my mother's boyfriend beat her up and I killed him. I've got to go back and answer for that. So what does all this salvation mean to me? Well, for the next 20 minutes, we talked. And I did all the Christianese, you know, if you confess and you say these words. And so I got him to do the say the words and gave him his little notch on his belt. And okay, you're a Christian now. Go forth. But I'm looking at him, it's like, oh my gosh. I've just condemned this guy because he didn't repent. He just said some words because I told him to. And the Lord convicted me. So I said, just a minute. Meanwhile, the kids are over here. The bus is coming. They're wanting to get on the bus and go back to town. Just a minute, you know. We don't know if there's another bus coming. It's like a 5-mile walk back to town. So I'm not leaving this guy. So the bus goes. I say, you guys pray. I'm talking to this guy. And we shared and we talked. And then it's just like the light bulb came on. I know that one day I will meet him. Because after we shared, finally another bus came. And as we're driving away, we look down on the beach. My interpreter gave him her Bible because he didn't have a Bible. He's sitting on the beach with this huge grin, reading his Bible. So I tell you all that because give it all to God. You don't know what he's going to do. You know, you don't know what he has in mind. You don't know what situation he's going to put you in. But when you give it to him, even if you're grumpy, broken, tired, and fed up, he can still use you. And the kingdom can be multiplied.
That's good. Wow. These are all good stories. Good, good stories of God's goodness. Okay, Nikki. The drummer. Drummer girl.
Okay, since Ron shared his story about being grumpy, I've wanted to share this a couple times, and I just get so nervous, and I know it's funny because I play up there, but speaking in front of people. So I was going through a really, really rough time in my life, and Rhonda, which everybody loves, she pulled me aside one time, and she said, seize the God moments in your situation. Don't look at all the negatives. Don't look at all the chaos going on. Seize those God moments. And she gave me a devotional, the Jesus Calling devotional. And that was so powerful. Every day that I read it, it hit something in me. Like, it just, I had it in my car, and I used to drive downtown because I worked at the main campus of the Cleveland Clinic, and I would sit in my car and just do my devotional and pray before I walked in, and I loved that book. I loved it. It was my favorite. So I worked with patients. I was in direct care. You're not allowed to share your faith. You're not really supposed to bring up God, you know, all diversity, nothing. So I had a patient, and she just found out she had colon cancer. They did a biopsy. She was on our floor. We were just talking, and she's like, I know God has a plan for my life. And so she opened the door, which meant I got to talk, because as long as they opened the door, it was okay. So we were just talking. I said, I have this really awesome devotional book, and, you know, it's called Jesus Calling. It's so fulfilling, and, you know, just shared a little bit of what I was going through and how important it was to me. So she was there for about a week. I drive downtown. I park my car, and anybody's been downtown, you know, it's not a short walk from where you park to where you have to go. I parked the car, and the Holy Spirit was like, give her the devotional. And I'm like, nuh-uh. No. Get out of the car, shut the door, give her the devotional. I'm like, no, it's not happening. All the way from my car to the building, I'm arguing back and forth with the Lord. I'm not giving her that book. I finally get ready to clock in. I had about 15 minutes before I could clock back in, and I was like, oh, darn it. So I had to walk all the way back to my car to get the devotional because I knew there was a reason why God was telling me to give it to her. I just was being stubborn because it was so valuable to me. You know, the things that we go through and that I was holding on to it, and it's really materialistic. It's not like God can't talk to me without it. But so I go and I get it. I'm going to put it on her nightstand because she was in her room when I got there and didn't say anything to her. And she came around the corner and she's like, oh, thank you so much. I'll repay you. I'm like, oh, it's no big deal. And meantime, I'm like, oh, it's a big deal. But she had left and we had kept in contact. She'd been back a couple times. And, you know, when we're faithful, God's faithful. And I had, after Big John had passed away, it was very emotional. I finally go back to work and she was there. She was there, and she's like, you know, God told me I was going to be back at this time for a reason. And she just hugged me, and she prayed for me, and, you know, she had no idea what was going on, you know, other than God told her. But I guess my point is even when we don't want to be, even when we're begrudgingly giving something to someone, God works. He really does, and, you know, it wasn't because I was cooperative, but, you know, that's all.
I'm so glad we can be transparent here. We don't have to pretend that we're always holy and spiritual and perfect. Really, because I identify with that. I do. Okay, Brooke.
Hi, I'm Brooke. For anyone who doesn't know me, I'm Tim and Tiffany's daughter. And so a couple months ago, we used to do this thing called Senior Project before we graduate where we, like, shadow someone we know or like go to a random working place instead of school and we like basically are in the workforce for a month. And so I procrastinated being me and I didn't do what I was supposed to do and I was running short on time and they were calling me into the office and they're like, if you don't find a senior project soon, my friend Leia went through this too. they're like, you're not going to graduate and all this stuff. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I'm not going to graduate. They're just saying that. But so then my mom called my neighbor and was like, maybe she could work with you. I had barely talked to her, but she works at a real estate company, Keller Williams Real Estate. I don't know if any of you have heard of that. And so I was like, okay, well, I guess I'll do that, and it all worked out or whatever. And then for the past 4 weeks, I've been shadowing her and basically working with her team on helping, like, close deals and, like, go to houses and brokers' openings and do paperwork and stuff for her. And she actually offered me a job for the summer through this, and the cool thing about it was I'm also working at a clothing company or clothing store called Knuth's, and I didn't know, but they were going to be cutting back a lot of my hours this summer because they were hiring more teenage girls to replace me when I go to college, and like I have to pay for a lot of my college, so I needed to work and make money this summer for that, so I just found out recently about that, and it just so happened that I was getting a job as well with my neighbor, so like it all came into place, and now I have jobs for.
That's good. I love how God gave you the job before you even knew you needed it. That's pretty cool. That's cool. Okay. Oh, Roger. Roger's going to be the last one actually today. Yep.
Make it good. Okay. I'm Roger. A few months ago, I was pretty frustrated with my job and everything. This is kind of seems to be a related thing today. But I had actually applied for a job that was down in Brentwood, Tennessee, and yeah, and Sandy prayed against it. There's a bunch of people who didn't. And I just wasn't sure if it was the right thing to do, but we did the whole interview process, and they basically offered me the job. They wanted to fly me down there for the final interview and given the job, was with Dave Ramsey's group. And we felt like, you know, it wasn't a good time. We felt like God was telling us it wasn't a good time to go. So we stayed, and it actually turned out that I ended up getting a much better deal. By staying, I was patient. Actually, I wasn't patient. Everybody else around me was, what? Okay, I was patient. And I ended up getting a much better deal staying here. I'm close to home. We got blessed financially. I got a boss who actually plays on a worship team at his church. He's already told me that he wants to grow my career. He wants to grow me professionally. I've only been there a month and a half, and I've got a meeting in June with the global director of information technology. It's like, it's kind of crazy. I mean, I've had to be super patient. It's kind of like what Heather was talking about with the blueberries. I've had to be really, really patient for years and years and years. I was with my previous company for 10 years. It was funny, I was looking through my notes, and I have this scripture from last year about this time. And it's in the Message translation. It's from Romans 14. And it says, cultivate your own relationship with God, but don't impose it on others. You're fortunate if your behavior and your belief are coherent. But if you're not sure, if you notice that you are acting in ways inconsistent with what you believe, some days trying to impose your opinions on others, and I've been like that, other days trying to please them, and I've been like that, then you know that you're out of line. If the way you live isn't consistent with what you believe, then it's wrong. So, you know, just making sure that what I do and what I believe are one and the same thing has really brought my entire family along. Doing the right things, putting the effort into the right places, and I need Meg every single day to do this, but, you know, doing that has really... That's made a huge difference to my life. And, you know, keeping God as the head of my household is huge. So.
You guys are a great team, no doubt. No doubt. Well, I wanted to end the testimony part. Thank you for all of your testimonies. Do you smell it? It smells good, doesn't it? The goodness of God. Scratch and sniff. You got it, right? Okay. Anyway, I wanted to take a couple of moments here because we are officially installing a new elder for Oak River Church today, and I'm excited about that. One of our previous elders, Tim and Tiffany Shedden, stepped down because of a conflict with work, basically, you know, a few months ago, and I've been praying about it and really felt directed towards one person, so I talked to the current elders, because that's what our bylaws calls for, that I present a name to them, and I get them to either say yay or nay, and they prayed on it, and they all said yay, and nobody said nay, and so I want to introduce you to our new elders at Oak River Church, the youngest elder we've ever had, Roger Chang. Yeah, and Megan, come on up. Yeah. Even though they're young, they're super wise. And one thing that I look for when I'm praying about an elder is wisdom, obviously. And what Roger just shared, someone who's, what they do lines up with what they say. That's kind of an important thing. And what I value so many things about these two. But one of the things I value is that they love to serve. Because elders at our church aren't a position of status, it's a position of service. That's what you do. Every elder serves in some capacity. It's not like you just get this position and you're like, I'm an elder now. No, it means get down and get to work. And they already got down and got to work before they were voted in as an elder. So I'd like the current elders to come up and surround them. And we want to just pray over them and officially install them in this capacity and thank God for them coming on. Elders and spouses, if spouses want to come, I would love to have your spouses come too. No pressure, but you're welcome. I'll say it that way. We do a lot of, our elder team, we do almost always now elders and spouses together. Elders are the official voters of anything that needs to be voted on, but spouses have a great influence in my heart and life. And so we really work together as a team, and I'm grateful for that. Dave, would you be the one to pray over them with the microphone? Everybody else, just stretch your hands toward them, please.
When we were thinking about elders, it wasn't age that really makes you an elder. You know, it's wisdom and servanthood and those things. So we wanted to really have a sort of like a passing of the baton really to that next generation in this move, because we want to incorporate that next generation into this. And it's so vital that we have a younger guy coming on, you know what I mean? Because we're getting tired. But anyway. So, Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Roger and Megan, Lord. We thank you for preparing their hearts and minds for this day, Lord God, this time, this season of life, Lord God, when they can pick up this mantle of leadership and responsibility and servanthood, Lord, with ease. They know it's not heavy. It's really not heavy, because they know they're worshipers, they're servants' hearts, and they love serving God like they do their family. So, Lord, we just thank you for them. We ask your blessing upon them, and we thank you that this is your will. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done in their life. In Jesus' name, amen.
So one of our current elders, Ken Hahn, is going to come and close out the service with a benediction now at this time.